Blog Talk Radio. I don't know about the rest of you, but I love this time of the day. I love how the cool, crisp night air kisses the ground, leaving behind a gentle layer of dew. I love looking up into the night sky and seeing the moon shining down upon us like an old, trusted friend. I look forward to spending our Thursday nights here together on Blog Talk Radio as we travel together on this journey into the night.
Happy to be here. How are you
so
doing?
So glad to have you.
Oh, I'm doing great. Hoping Lisa can get her issues straightened out and come back and join us. I like being here without her. It feels strange. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
It's nice being back. Thank you for having us.
It's an honor. Every time you guys come, Lisa and I are always so excited. We just really love having the two of you join us. Now, boy, you guys have been working on this movie. I've been seeing all your stuff on Facebook and everything about it. First of all, when's it going to be released in the theaters?
Well, right now we're editing, and after we edit, we'll put it into film festivals, and that usually determines how we get a distribution deal. And once the distributor picks the movie, they're the one that releases it into actual theaters.
Oh, so that's how it works. But now, is there a chance so it could be later
process.
This year then?
Uh-huh. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
So does it mean it could be later on this year?
Yes, it could, yes.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
Can
you describe the movie a little bit? I'm sorry. Go ahead, hon.
I said we will be having a private screening in June in Philadelphia for all the actors, crew members, investors, sponsors, and all that, just so they could see the full film, that's all.
Oh, wow. Well, like I was telling you before the show started, that latest movie trailer that you guys were sharing on social media, it sent shivers down my spine. That was really intense scenes you had in there. And if the movie is just half of what that is, it's going to be an excellent movie. I mean, the acting, John, you're really quite a little actor. Wow, you did great.
I appreciate you saying that. It was a challenge because the character is nothing like, I always say, like the real me. You know, I play a real mean guy, which is the exact opposite of my real personality. So you're going to kind of have to go into character, as they say, to become the bad man, you know?
Right. Well, you know, that's what being an actor is, you know. I see interviews all the time of actors, you know, and stuff like that. And you're not you. A true actor will convince you that they are that character because you don't see them in there. I remember the first movie I ever saw Leonardo DiCaprio in. And it was that one with Johnny Depp. I can't remember. He played the autistic boy. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Gilbert Grape. Was he in Gilbert Grape?
Gilbert Grape.
And I remember my husband and I, after we got done watching it, we looked at each other and we were like, how did they get that little boy with those handicaps to be such a little actor? We totally believed that he was a child with problems, you know. And that's what acting is, you know. So by you being able to do that, you've proven you're an actor, John. You truly are an actor.
I try to go out there and make it believable. You know, if you believe, then I'm doing my job.
Well, it's really good. Can you guys give the listeners a short description of your movie? I mean, you know, give us some background. Behind-the-scenes description stuff of it?
Well, the movie focuses on a female Army medic who is sexually assaulted by her commanding officer, and she tries to assimilate back into society and try to cope with life being a sexual assault victim, and she also becomes pregnant by her commanding officer, so she's dealing with a lot of different things, and her depression and post-traumatic stress comes in. And she's just trying to figure out how to survive in this world, knowing that she's carrying the baby of a rapist. You know, it's a very difficult situation.
Wow. That is intense. Are you there?
Yep, we are here.
Okay. All of a sudden it went real quiet. Oh, no, I lost you too.
No, we're here.
Wow. That's intense. So, now John, of course, he's the one that plays the rapist, correct?
He plays the command. He's Captain Jake Nixon in the movie. He is the commanding officer. He plays in the movie.
Wow. Now, does he have his own issues that he's dealing with also? Or is he just a bad guy?
Yeah, I mean, the character has issues, you know, without giving away too much. I mean, he had a really rough childhood, you know, as most, a lot of kids have rough upbringings, you know, foster homes and abusive parents, and that kind of made him into the way he was as an adult, you know. A lot of times in real life, a lot of abusers were abused themselves as kids, you know. So that's kind of how this character is. He was kind of had two strikes against him in the beginning. And then he just kind of morphed into something that was really bad, you know.
Okay. Now, can you give us a look into the main characters? What moves them? What makes them who they are? Anything like that? We already talked about John. What's some of the other characters?
Well, Tamara Woods, she's the actress that plays Sergeant Diane Torres. She's the one that is the rape victim. And her character, basically, like I said, she's trying to find her way when she gets discharged from the military, and she has to deal with the aftermath of being, one, raped and then pregnant with her rapist, and she's trying to struggle. How does she deal with that? What does she keep the baby? Does she not keep the baby? How does she deal with her depression and her anger? And it's a story that goes, you know, a lot of women deal with that, not only in the military but in real life. So it's a story that's impactful on many levels.
It's difficult to go through. I know I've mentioned it before, but I'm a victim of rape. And
I don't know.
And by the grace of God, I didn't get pregnant, you know. But yes, I was a victim of rape. And I totally understand what you're saying, what the women go through, because you do. You go through so many horrible feelings. You know, the guilt, the anger, you know, the gamut, you know. And, when I watched that one scene, you know, it ripped it out of me, you know. And so it was well portrayed. The actress, she shows the range of emotions, you know. So, Now, the one in the latest trailer, the one woman, the older lady, is she a counselor, or what's her role in the movie?
That's Pastor Haley. She is a pastor in a church, and she's also a counselor. So she counsels veterans with PTSD. That's her job. That's her role.
Okay. And what's some of the other main characters and their roles in the movie?
Well, we have a few different people, but they're not the main actors. They're just co-stars. It's like the main actors, the lead actor, obviously male, is John Quinlan, and the lead actress, female, is Tamara Woods.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are some of the co-actors then?
Like I said, we have David Bazemore. We have Tasha Holmes. We have a lot of people that are veterans actually in the movie. Like Tamara Woods is a veteran. She's Air Force. We have Jodie Austin. She's in the movie. She's Army. Mike Benson, he's actually, not only is he a military veteran, he plays himself in the movie, and in real life he was sexually assaulted when he was in the military.
Oh. Wow. Oh, so it's not just a problem with the women, it's a problem with men being assaulted also then, huh?
Right. It's just as prevalent with men in the military as with women, because there are more men in the military. I meant women.
Well, yeah.
But a lot of people
that
know that. We're bringing that to the forefront in the movie.
Well, men, a lot of times, there's so much, they bury it, I think, even deeper than a woman would, you know, because of the whole connotation of it and everything. So in other words, now this movie, sit there and have the tissue ready, because it's going to rip at your soul in a lot of parts, huh? Okay, now tell us the positive about it, because you say that there's the organization that helps them work out their things. Was it through the mixed martial arts, or what was it you were talking in the last time we spoke to you?
Right. Well, you know, we actually changed the script up some, because we had to change it up because we wanted it to be a more personal story. So we did some rewrites. Well, I did some rewrites as the writer. And we wanted a more personal story to be more, like I said, more impactful for the truth of how people deal with PTSD as a sexual assault survivors. So we had to do some tweaking and writing since the last time you and I talked.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that sounds interesting then. What was the mood on the set with this being such an important subject, a difficult subject? How did the actors and everything, I mean, was it hard to get out of that mood set, or once you yelled cut, was everybody relaxed and back to themselves?
Yeah, that's how it was. I have to say, everybody on the set when I worked, everyone was very professional. All the actors got along really well. The director also. It was to me personally, it was like being with one big family. I mean, everybody really got along, worked well together. It was good having that cohesion, as they say, because when you work on a difficult subject, you need to be able to work with your co-stars in that kind of way. Tamara, I mean, for example, I have a great working relationship with Tamara Woods. I told her right her face when we worked together the first time. I said, we get along really well, which made, especially the first scene we did when we shot out in the woods, the confrontation, to really make that believable, you have to be relaxed. And you got to be relaxed working with the person opposite you. I have a real good relationship with her, so we were able to really go into character and feel comfortable doing that. But I felt overall, I mean, it was a really good atmosphere being on the sets. You know, I love working with Jill, and everyone there was great. But like I said, especially with such a difficult topic, unless there's really good cohesion there, makes it a little more of a challenge. But I felt really comfortable working on this set.
And as director, you know, I wanted to make sure that we all blended well together. We had good crew. We had my DP, Lamont Fountain. We just blended as, like John said, a family. So when I set cut, we were able to just relax and have fun and laugh and joke, because it is a hard subject, and we don't want everybody to be tense all the time and upset all the time. We want people to be able to relax on set.
Right, right. Well, you can't make it believable if everybody's tense, too. So, and like you said, you need to be relaxed in order to make it believable. Wow. It's such an intense subject. I mean, it really is. Like I told people, when I first saw that last movie trailer and I was talking to a few people about it, I was like, oh, my God, you know, that is so intense, you know. And it reached out and grabbed your soul in a way that, you know, you just can't imagine people going through that. You know, when she's sitting there and she's got her gun, and then the next scene, John's got a gun, and, you know, I mean, when Tamara has a gun, and then John has a gun, and the I don't know what feelings. I mean, the range of emotions, you know, they were feeling, and it's going to be a difficult movie to watch on an emotional level. There's going to be another level that's going to make you angry, but then you're going to want to reach out to people. You know, so often our service people, you know, we always expect them to be strong, but they're people too, you know. Just because you wear a uniform doesn't mean you're not a person and you don't have feelings and emotions. So I'm very pleased that you're doing this. This story needs to be told. It needs to be told. How long did it take you guys to do the filming of this? Once you the first day start filming until you finished
it
and turned it off
for
editing?
We started December 2015 and we ended December 2016. So it basically was a year. We all worked basically on weekends because people have real jobs. So, you know, we had to do it basically on weekends. But again, that long period of time, that year allowed us to come together and be like closer, like a family.
Mhm. Well, that's good. That's good, and plus it makes working more enjoyable when you know when you're friends and everything. Now, is there work that you do with veterans with PTSD? Is there a project you're involved with, or is that something I'm misunderstanding?
No, I'm working with Mike Beeson. Like I said, he's in the film, and he has a nonprofit called From PTS to Freedom, and we are working together to do several projects together. So, yeah, mm-hmm. that's what I'm working with.
Mm-hmm. Quite a problem with soldiers. I can't believe the numbers that are committing suicide. It's just unbelievable. 22
veterans a day commit suicide.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I mean, we need to really focus on helping our soldiers more than we have been. That's for sure. That's important. Okay. It's a subject close to my heart. I was raised in the military. I'm an Air Force brat. And, people in the military have always held a special place in my heart. So when I hear things like this, it just rips at me and I just, But anyway, let's go on now. You said that you had several true life veterans in your movie, correct? You said there were several of them? So now were they helping you with ideas for your script, or if you were going, well, maybe this would be better, or were you pretty well in stone with your storyline?
Before I actually started writing the script, I did 3 years of research and I interviewed veterans who had PTSD, and other veterans who are dealing with military sexual assault or military sexual trauma. So that allowed me to write the script because I had, various stories to feed from. And I also talked to psychologists who treat veterans who are dealing with these subject matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a difficult thing. I remember my father when he came home from Vietnam, and I remember one morning waking up hearing him holler and he's trying to get up under the bed, because when you're over there, the bombs and stuff, they teach them to roll underneath their bed. So I remember seeing that, firsthand with my own dad. So it's difficult. Now, we've been taught about PTSD and how difficult it is on those who live with it on a daily basis. Can you share with us how it affects loved ones of those affected, the family members of the person affected? How does it affect them?
Well, people mainly think that post-traumatic stress disorder just deals with the veteran, but again, it does affect the family, especially the spouse, the kids, mother and father, siblings, because they really don't know how to help the veteran. They don't know what they're going through. They can't possibly understand the traumatic events that they're going through in their mind. So they love the person, but they're like, I really don't know how to help you, and that's difficult for them because they want to help. Not only does the veteran have to go get counseling, the family, the loved ones have to go get counseling too in order to cope with their own emotional pain that they're seeing the loved one go through, the night terrors, the fear, the stress. It's hard on the family, so they have to do it as a unit. They have to go to counseling together and get the help that they need as a family unit.
Now, what made you decide to tackle this subject in a movie?
Well, I had seen a story on Sports with Brian Gumbel about three, four years ago, and they were talking about this subject matter. But what really got to me when I seen the documentary by Dick Kirby, he does documentaries, award-winning documentary filmmaker, and he did The Invisible War. And that documentary was specifically on military sexual assault. And, because of the documentary, they interviewed men and women who had been sexually assaulted and how they were dealing with it and how they weren't getting help from the military, how they were turning a blind eye to it. And I said, I wanted to do this story in a different way. I wanted to do it as a feature film. It gives me more leeway to write the story the way I wanted to write it, but just remain true. It's inspired by true events, but then I get to be able to twist it to the way I wanted the audience to see it, which is in my world a little. It's better for me as a filmmaker, as a feature filmmaker. But it was because of that documentary, The Invisible War, which very touched me greatly. And I said, well, I want to do something as well. I mean, I'm a veteran myself, so it's just important to me to tell the story and try to help get the light out and help get the word out to people and hopefully make a change.
Well, yeah, it's something that for so long that subject has been so taboo to speak about. I can imagine how much more taboo it would be to speak about if you're serving in the military, and have it happen while in the military, So I can't imagine having to carry around that guilt, you know, anger and all those emotions that you have after being violated in such a horrible way and made to feel that you can't say anything, you know. And it's just, it's something that needs to be exposed. It needs to have the light of truth shown on it, because that's the only way it'll ever be stopped. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You just,
yep, I agree.
You can't hide things. You can't hide things like that and not expect it to continue. So, now, gotta know, was it hard to say those final words at the wrap at the end of this movie?
Yeah, it was hard because, you know, like, again, we were doing the movie for a year. And, you know, like I said, we had a bond and a closeness
mm-hmm.
with the crew and the actors. And, you know, so it was difficult. What do you think about that, John?
I agree. Everybody on the cast and crew were great. And like I said before in the past interview we did, you know, I was blessed that Jillian selected me for the role. She's an amazing director, and to be selected for a lead role is special to me.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Mont Fountain, amazing cinematographer. I can't ask for a better guy to be
mm-hmm.
putting this thing together. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, it's been a great experience. Like I said, I call everybody on the set family. You know, on the flip side, even though when she says it's a wrap and it's done, you know, it's friendships I'll have the rest of my life. So if it wasn't for this project, those friendships never would have been started in the beginning anyway. So, you know, one door closes and another relationship opens, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I got to know, though, John, how do your children feel about Daddy being a big-time movie actor now?
My kids are great. They love the things I do, you know. It wouldn't have to be an actor. I could be anybody. I'm so Superman to my kids. You know?
I know. I'm just being playful. I'm just being playful. You have adorable children.
You're saying that. I try my best.
I always tell people I may
as
not
long
be
as
able
I make
to do a lot of
believable. That's all I'm trying to do.
I said, yeah,
as long as I make the character believable, it's all I'm trying to do. You know, with
well, you did do that because I wasn't too happy with you with some of those things that I've watched in that movie.
I kindly appreciate you saying that.
I was like, no, John's a nice guy. But, you know, that's important.
Reckon I am.
You know, you gotta make us absolutely hate you and want to kick you in the shins and do other horrible things. If you do that, you've done your job.
I'm trying my best. I appreciate your kind words.
That's too funny. That's too funny. Hey, Jillian, now, how does it, is it difficult to wear the multiple hats during filming this? Because you're not only the director, but you were the producer too, correct?
Also the writer and the fight choreographer. We had a few fight scenes in there, and I had to choreograph the actors to get that right.
Wow. Yeah, you did. You were covering it all, weren't you? Now, as far as the fight scenes,
makes you do that sometimes.
Yeah. Now, as far as the fight scenes, you want to tell everybody where you got that experience from? Because that's an interesting story.
I'm a black belt in Taekwondo and Wing Chun, and I also train in mixed martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
That's my background. So I'm, you know, qualified to teach the actors how to do fight scenes and not get hurt, you know, how to pull the punches and
mm-hmm.
the kicks and the knees, elbows.
Now I want to know, John, did she teach you how to fight pretty good in that movie?
I learned from the best, of course.
That's just too funny. That's too funny. Is there what other fun things happened while you guys were doing the movie? Come on, get everybody excited about going to see it. Tell us some more good stuff.
We can't say too much because I'll ruin it.
Well, just to let everybody know, John, why don't you tell everybody about your background?
Pretty much. I mean, my background started off in sports. You know, when I was a kid, I played sports, and I started weight training to get you know, better for sports. And then I just started to enjoy the weightlifting aspect rather than organized sports. So pretty much, you know, late teens, I started, you know, powerlifting and junior bodybuilding. And then I got into modeling and fitness. And then as the modeling took on a role of its own, I started to morph into more things like fashion and editorial and stuff like that. And then, but I continued to compete off and on. And then that's when Jill kind of discovered me in fitness. And that's kind of where, you know, I got discovered for playing this role. She, like, you know, thought I had some qualities that, you know, I could bring to the table to make this character realistic, and it kind of clicked. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, really. You know, modeling and fit, and just being consistent. And I got, you know, someone kind of just believed in me, and I brought the role to life, as they say.
Well, I think you're being a little bit humble, because being an author, I have several other author friends on Facebook, and several of them write romance, and some of them write the steamier romance, and you are quite popular on a bunch of their covers, mister. I'll giggle and stuff when I'll see another picture pop up of somebody's cover with you on there, and all the women are drooling in the comment section, and
I have to say that the people in the business are very nice to me. I can't thank Catherine Clark enough. She really was nice to me and took me on as my fifth and last big convention in Atlanta in May. And I want to personally thank Catherine Falk for believing me and showcasing me to the world in that industry. So that also, I can't complain. All the writers and authors have been wonderful to me. You know, they've supported me a lot. So it's been a good experience. I'm very grateful to you and everybody else in that business.
You're pretty popular with them. Like I said, I'll see them all the time, and they're like, did I ever tell you the story about our first show when we were going to have you on, and it was last February, our month of romance, and you sent me over a bunch of pictures so we can make up promo stuff and everything, and my daughter and daughter-in-law happened to be over, and they're going, Mom, what are you working on? I said, oh, I'm getting the stuff ready for the show, and they go, oh, who'd you guess? And I showed them your pictures. Now, mind you, this is my daughter and daughter-in-law. They're sitting there arguing over which one gets to have you.
Oh, thank you.
And then, hey. Oh, yeah, they were all about the muscles and the tattoos.
I appreciate you. I appreciate the support.
Oh, yeah. Every time they hear you're going to be on, they say, oh, you know. And they're both planning on going to see your movie when it finally gets to theaters. So you've got two fans out there already for sure on your movie career. So,
well, thank you very much.
So now, Jillian, you got any other projects coming up in the works after this one's all put in the back, or anything brewing in your mind?
Yeah, we're moving on to the next film called "Listen to What the Dead Are Saying." It's a drama. Thriller, more action. It deals with selling babies on the black market.
Ooh.
I was tough subject.
That's going to be a hard subject, yes. Yes. That's really bad around the world, too. You know, you see these documentaries and, horrible. Horrible subject. So now, do you have any projects for John in the future?
I don't think I'm going to work with John anymore. He's just very difficult. He's become a diva since we started. I don't understand. You know.
Linda.
I don't know. I don't know.
Hey, Lisa, Linda, don't listen. I'm a nice, humble guy. You know me. Don't buy into the hype.
I don't know if I want to work.
Oh, no. Well, you know, he's a guy. They can't help it.
He has his wife in the movie. Was just giving me a hard time.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure he's real difficult.
I'm impossible.
I bet you are. Yeah, sure. I'm not convinced for a second, John. Don't worry.
Okay.
Now, I want to know, though, can you give us some little funny things? You know, you always see in the when they do the clips from something, those when they pull out the little boo-boo mistake things. Did you guys have any funny stuff happen on your movie while you're making it? Something that wasn't supposed to turn out, but it happened, and you all sat and laughed about it.
No, we had no funny stuff.
Not at all? Nobody ever made a mistake ever? Ah, oh, come
no,
on.
People made mistakes, but, you know, I'm going to tell you, this might sound weird, but one of the funniest scenes that we had, it wasn't supposed to be funny, but we had the rape scene.
Uh-huh.
And it was, like, really weird how everybody was just, like, really getting into it. But it was funny in a sense because I was a body double for Tamara because she was, like, 8 months pregnant at the time. She couldn't really do the rape scene part, right? So I was a body double with John. The guys were really fun and at my expense because they kept up in the ante. They kept going off script. And I'm like, I didn't say that you could grab the boobs or anything, guys. But they did it anyway. They said, we want to make it realistic. They were just doing what they wanted to say. You know, I just went along because I thought it would be more realistic, but I think they were taking advantage of me.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Oh,
my goodness. That just puts a whole new spin on the friendship, doesn't it?
It does, I tell you.
Yeah. That's just too funny. Well, you know, paybacks are, you know what, so watch out, John.
I'm watching. I got eyes in the back of my head. You know that.
That's too funny. That's too funny. Now, where was the movie mainly filmed? Where did you guys do most of the filming?
In Philadelphia.
Philadelphia area? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow. And now, so this is why you've been flying all over the place, huh, John? You have to fly there to work, then, correct?
Yes, he keeps flying in from Boston. Like, you know, he might become a native of Philadelphia soon. He keeps this up.
Well, he's racking up those frequent flyer miles, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, this way.
Last time I was with Jill and Lamont, and I got my picture taken with the Rocky statue. You know, ever since I was a kid, I wanted to get a picture with the statue. So that was a nice bonus to be in filming. You know, you probably saw the picture online.
I think I did see it. Yep.
I've had a lot of people tell me that my life is a lot like a Rocky story. So, you know, a picture next to the statue is kind of, to me personally, is kind of symbolic. You know, so it was cool to finally get it. And that statue is huge too, by the way.
Is it really?
You see it? I was standing next to it.
I've never been there to the statue.
Yeah, it's enormous. So, but it was cool. Cool seeing it.
Wow, that's neat. That's neat. Well, you know, you do kind of have his accent in a way on the phone. You sound a lot like him.
Yeah, I've been told that by the people I'm with now, actually. One of the producers here, Delane, has just actually told me that about 5 minutes ago. So it's kind of funny that you mentioned that. She's here laughing
now,
hysterically. So you're just feeding her fire.
But it's true. I remember the first time we talked on the phone, I was like, I told Lisa after the show, I go, oh, my God, he sounds like Sylvester Stallone in the first Rocky movies. You know,
that's
can you
lot.
Do your voice up?
She says that constantly. It's funny because she's here right now laughing. It's almost like she's like, yes, thank you for saying it, because she says it a lot.
Well, see, I validated it, see?
You validated it. Wayne would hug you now if he had you in front of her right now. I wouldn't.
Well,
but you would. But you know, I love you.
I'll tell you right now, you sound like Sylvester Stallone in the first Rocky movies, but I've always thought, especially there's that one shot you have, you're in your suit jacket, your head's kind of turned to the side, you got that serious look on your face, which you usually have the serious look. But I always thought you looked like Yul Brynner. And I used to have, There's something about you to remind me of Yul Brynner back in the day.
He's far better looking than Yul Brynner.
Well, I know he's better looking. I'm just talking about that tense look. You know, I just remember like from the King and I movies and stuff like that, that look that he would get. You remind me of that look, that intensity look. So
yeah, well,
I'm paying a compliment. I had a big crush on Will Brenner when I was young, so in my younger days.
Well, that definitely helped playing this role, because this guy had to be pretty intense for a lot of the film.
Yep.
So it helped.
Yeah, your intense look. Yep. That look that gets the girls melting on the romance cover novel, you know. Now, are you still going to be doing your modeling, or is that going to be in the past?
No, I mean, I would like to. You know, it's something I enjoy doing. You know, if I would love to keep doing it. You know, I always say the stars align right. If everything's right and the company contacts me and says, I want to use this for this and this, and it feels right, I would love to. I'm always honored when anybody – this goes for a book cover also. If anybody takes the time to contact me and show interest in me and say, we want to use you for a project, you know, that means a lot to me, because you took time out of your busy schedule to ask. So I would love to. It's something I've done off and on for almost two decades. So if the company was right and the people were right, it made sense, I would love to fit it in my schedule. Yeah, I would love to. Until as long as I can do it, I enjoy doing it.
Well, to be honest with you, once your movie comes out and you're seen with your look and your acting ability and everything, I think you might start having a whole new career, because, you know, they're always looking for, you know, intense actors that could be for action and those type movies. So, and you've got the look, so I would not be a bit surprised to see you splashed all over the big screen all the time. So
I appreciate you saying all those things. It means a lot. But all I can do, and be honest with you, is go out there every day, just do my best. You know, if I'm blessed, if the man upstairs blesses me enough to get me opportunities, then so be it. But, I mean, I'll try every day to make it work. And, you know, even with the Nixon character, I mean, I'll give you 100% on screen. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. If you want me to play a character, I'll go into character and become the character and give my best. And like you were saying, if you believe the character you saw, it was believable, then I did my job. So all I can do is make the character believable and see where it goes. But I would love to keep you know, get more roles and keep modeling as long as I can, because it's something I enjoy doing.
Well, I'm a firm believer in good things happen to good people. And John, you and Jillian both are good people. So, you know, like I said, I'm a firm believer good things happen to good people. So that's just my opinion in life.
Yeah, I agree with it.
So now, Jillian, has your book come out? The one you had a book you were working on, didn't you, last time we talked?
Yeah, it'll be out later. It will be out later this year. So.
Okay, you want to give everybody a quick little idea of what it's about?
Nope, it's going to be a surprise.
Oh, dang.
My focus really is on the movie. We want to just get it out to theaters, and we want to go working on the next film, which Lamont and I and Delaine, who's my other producing partner, we are developing the next movie right now. So, you know, we're just working on that because we're filmmakers.
You're filmmakers. There you go. Well, I tell you what, I can't imagine all the hours and hours of work it must take to do what you do. I mean, from an idea popping in your mind until customers sitting down and, you know, watching it on a screen, that's real dedication, you know, and that's sacrifice of one's life to put all that in there. So I'm really thrilled to get to know you, because that's something I will never do in my life, but you know, it's amazing that you're able to do that. You know, when I've watched a few movie trailers you put out, I'm like, dang, you know. It just amazes me how people can make things look so real in movies.
You know, you're doing your job as a filmmaker. You know, you have to make audiences believe whatever it is, you know, whether it's a drama, thriller, a comedy. You know, that's the job of the writer first, because you can't do any film without the script, and then you have to have a good director and your DP. Your director of photography is like key, and of course the editor. The editor can save a movie or break a movie many times. I'm fortunate that my DP is my editor, Lamont Fountain, mm-hmm. and I work together really well, which is very important, because if you don't have that trust and that relationship, you know, you'll be on the set fighting all the time and disagreeing all the time, and Lamont and I don't go through that because we do have a very close relationship and we have a good understanding of how a director and a DP should work.
Mhm. Mhm. So now you don't get upset when an editor comes out there and says, oh, no, this part's crap, gotta go, this part's crap, gotta go. That doesn't bother you then, huh?
It doesn't happen. I'm the director. I have the final say.
No.
That's that.
I'm just laughing because last week we had a guest on that she's a book reviewer and she does editing, and we were talking about, as far as for books, you know, when the editor gets a hold of it and they send it back, you go, oh man, this part right here, you just really got to redo it, you know, and how sometimes we just kind of have to say, oh, yep, you're right, that is kind of bad, you know.
No, you know what, like I said, it's different for books. Like I said, Lamont and I, we collaborate. We compromise. Sometimes he says, you know, I don't know if this is going to work that well. And then sometimes I say, okay, you might be right. But the bottom line is I'm the director, and the last say goes to me. So if I feel really strongly about a scene and how I want it to be visualized on screen, Lamont goes along with it, and that's why we work so well together. And I'll continue to work with him on future projects.
That's good. That's good, though. That's good. So now, John, got a question for you real fast. How are you going to feel when you get to sit down and watch the finished product for the first time? What type of feelings do you think you'll have?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I told Jill the same thing I'm going to tell you. When I watched the trailer for the first time, I got emotional at the very beginning. You know? I mean, I felt the way it was done was amazing. I mean, I felt the Tamara, the victim, I felt the victim's pain, the way it was done, you know, especially in the beginning when she mentions the statistics. And then, you know, when you hear it was an amazing music selection that was actually made specifically for this film.
The song was called Fight of Our Lives.
Yeah, it was made specifically for the movie. And then when I watched the trailer for the first time, the combination of Tamara and her dad and the music, I teared, man. You know, and I'm like, and then when it flashes instantly towards the bad guy, it paints that picture of, boom, you know, now you feel bad for the victim, you see the bad, you painted the picture. But, when I watched it, to bring that raw emotion out of me, I was like, wow, they did a great job. And I'll say this forever and always. I was blessed for two reasons to be involved with this movie. One, first and foremost, to be selected as the lead actor, to be the lead actor in a film. So that's one. Two, I was blessed to be directed by Jillian, one of the greatest directors in the world, and the cast and crew. I mean, Lamont, top-notch, greatest in the world. And just to be involved with everybody in this project, to me, is that's the second special reason. You know, just to be involved with everybody on this thing was special. And it was a great experience for me, and I hope... Like I said, I hope that all I can do is do my job. When you watch the film, all I want you to say is, John Quinlan made his character believable. That's all I want to do is make you believe my character's real, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure you will. So if you have some woman walk up and slap you in the face on the street someday, you'll know that you did. I'm joking.
That happened. It happened with Lawrence Fishburne. Lawrence Fishburne played Ike. He says, I'd be walking down the streets of Manhattan, women with their purses, smash me in the face, saying, you're a bad guy, because I'm an actor. They said, no, you're not. Some people believe it. They believe. They think you're really the character. All I'm doing is I'm stepping out of the normal me and trying to portray someone to make you believe it. You know?
Mm. But that's a hard thing to do. It really, truly is. I would think, especially with the subject matter of this one, I mean, you had to really dig down into a part of you and try to find something that somebody that most average people don't have. You know, the everyday person doesn't have that type of darkness in them. So to be able to pull it out of nothingness and you know, show it through to where the camera can see it, that's quite a gift.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
I could say this too, to be really honest with you. You know, from watching Tamara, I mean, there's no one out there that I've seen really. I mean, there's other good people. She's amazing at bringing out raw emotion. You know,
mm-hmm.
when I watched her get ready when we filmed the first time and then this time, she brought out the best in me. I got to be honest with you. I was lucky to have working with someone like that because she made me better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I always said this, you know, I always try to feed off people that are better than me, you know. So I said, let me feed off the director, Jillian, you know. Let me feed off Tamara, because if I take all that corrective criticism and just use it, you know, it only makes me a better actor. You know, there's no egos
mm-hmm.
here. You know, there's no attitude here. Just I'm wide open towards learning, and I don't think you ever stop learning in this business. So I was blessed to work with such amazing people.
Now, at the end of the day, when you went home after shooting for the day, were you emotionally drained because of your role?
I was just emotionally drained. I think I was more happy when I left, because when I do things that I did on set, I'm like, wow, you know what? I really brought that, and I was happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to being tired. You know, I used to, you know, when I train, I get up, I train, I live that militaristic type lifestyle anyway. So I mean, but I was actually very happy when I leave the set, because I was like, wow, I had a really great day of filming, and this is going to be etched in stone forever on film. So I never felt tired. I felt satisfied.
Well, I felt tired because I always had to tell John, stop it. You're doing us wrong. Do it again.
She's capitalizing. Don't feed
she
into
was
the
cracking the whip on you, huh?
Like, dude, we're up to a take 154.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Get it together.
Really, do you believe that one? Take 154? She's really pushing it now.
Especially when we did the kissing scenes. He was just milking it.
Well, he's a guy. Come on.
Thing, yeah.
Sounds like you guys have a wonderful relationship.
Yeah, I respect her very much. She's a brilliant lady, and I'm very blessed to have her, you know, select me and believe me the way she does.
Well, I think she does. I love hearing that everybody has such a good time working together and have built some strong relationships and friendships, and you know, that's important nowadays, you know, to connect with people. And I love hearing this. I love hearing that you guys are all close and friends. And even though, you know, she's warned us now, John, that you've turned into a diva, that's okay, honey. We'll still love you regardless.
Yep. We all got along. We all worked well together. I was very fortunate as a director because I've been on some sets that, you know, everybody's not getting along, and it makes the set very stressful and doesn't go as well as you planned. So this was a blessing to me.
Oh, sounds like it. Sounds like it. Well, just a little bit I know of John, I can honestly see where he would be fun to work with and a pleasure, because he seems like a complete gentleman and very caring. So I could see where he would be a joy to work with. And you seem like a smart lady, you know what you're doing, so I'm sure you'd be great to work for. So,
yeah, I try my best. Appreciate you saying that.
Well, guys, we're almost out of show time. We've got 6 minutes left. Can't believe it. I don't know where the hour went.
Wow,
but,
went quick.
I know. Just having too much fun. Is there any last-minute things you'd like to say? Let the listeners know about the movie, about anything coming up, or...
Well, they want to, if any, you know, people want to follow us, they can go to the movie website, is a sense of purpose movie.com. You know, we have more information on there, what's going on, events that's coming up. You know, they can just follow us. And of course, they're always on Facebook, they can follow us as well. You know, anything they want to do, they want to ask us any questions. They can just email me. They can go online to the movie website, and then they can email me. And I'll answer any questions that they have about the movie. Definitely. I'll answer any questions.
Wow. That sounds great, folks. There you go. And I'll also be making a YouTube video of our show tonight. have it on the Deadly Reads YouTube channel. And that way, if you guys want to put it on your website too, you can embed it there. So.
No, we will. We need all the publicity. We need that because a movie that's this, we need to get all the publicity out there that we can.
Well, I love helping all I can. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to sit there and growl at you, John, during the movie. Just want you to know, I'll probably snarling through the whole thing at you.
Just a reminder also, the trailer, the official trailer was just loaded on YouTube a couple of days ago.
Okay.
So if you want to just pass that along, people can watch the trailer on YouTube if they want to see more.
Okay.
Yeah, just go to a Sense of Purpose YouTube channel and just check it out.
Okay. Cool. Now, is that the one I was talking about that I just saw a couple of days ago?
Yep, the official movie trailer, Sense of Purpose Fighting for Our Lives, official YouTube channel. And just, you can see the actual legit trailer that we were just talking about in full. Feel free to like, comment, and the support is appreciated. We all appreciate it.
Yep. That was a good one. I already did it. I liked it. Left my comment.
I know. I appreciate that so much. Pass the word along. Let everybody else put it on all your social media. Put it out there. You know, and spread the love.
Thank you. Well, you too. I'm so thrilled to have you back again. I'm tickled to death. You guys are on the last steps of getting this movie to the theaters for all of us to be able to sit and enjoy and growl at John because he's being such a bucket on the screen, but that's okay.
Hey, you know, I've never been called that. Hey, huh? I've been called words, but I've never been called something as bad as that. So we're doing our best. So we look forward to another time being on your show. We appreciate you having us, and you know, we love you guys.
Oh, we love you too. And I'm so sorry Lisa's line was giving her fit tonight. She was like, I'll just hang up. So we love you, Lisa. And
we do love you,
and everything. Yeah, she's a sweetheart. She's my bud. I feel lost with her without her tonight. But anyway, well, folks, I guess we're going to have to call it a wrap. Thank you again for coming, everybody. Check out their social media site. Follow them. Go watch their YouTube video. Follow the movie. And when it comes out, go watch it, huh?
Yep. And you know what? I'm going to invite both of you to the screening in June if you guys can fly out for it.
Oh, wow. I wish I could. Oh, wow. Well, you can let me know. I'll see if I can work something out.
Good. Huh? That sounds great.
Well, you guys take care. And Lisa and I love you guys. And everybody, follow them and check out the movie, A Sense of Purpose, Fighting for Our Lives. And you guys take care.
Take care, Linda.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I love this time of the day. I love how the cool, crisp night air kisses the ground, leaving behind a gentle layer of dew. I love looking up into the night sky and seeing the moon shining down upon us.